This is Dear Analyst episode number 95, and this episode is all about how nobody ever got fired for choosing Google Sheets. And the motivation for this episode is a bit of a selfish one, and I'm going to save the punchline till the very end. So if you kind of want to skip to the reason why I'm doing this episode, just go to the very last minute or so of this episode before I mention the other podcasts, and you'll learn more about why I'm doing this episode all about Google Sheets. So I'm not going to give you the punchline. You have to listen to the whole thing or just skip to the very end to listen to why I'm doing this episode. And as I was thinking about doing this episode about Google Sheets, I realized I want to take a different approach to using or not using Google Sheets. I wanted to explore how Google Sheets and our workplace software and tools actually make us feel, like the actual emotions that you feel when you listen to a song or watch a movie. This is more about how our software can potentially help us make us feel something. And it might be kind of a stretch, but here we go. These are just some of my thoughts. The story or the context for this first starts with IBM. Now, the whole phrase, no one ever gets fired, no one gets fired for choosing Google Sheets is a rip off of the phrase, nobody gets fired for buying an IBM. And that phrase came from like the 1930s, 40s, 50s, when IBM first started building mainframe machine computers for the government, for research institutions, for enterprises. And they were seen as innovators because they were building completely new technology, new hardware, and also providing like excellent customer service as well to their customers. And so they were basically the only kind of big brand in town, and they had this reputation of being very secure and innovative. But over time, their innovation slowed down and companies still continued to buy from them, even though they weren't really innovating, because IBM, their brand, was still seen as the reliable choice over another new company or startup that was also providing a similar product and probably at a cheaper cost too. You're just kind of paying for the brand name. And this basically leads to the notion that if you are working inside a company and you are choosing between different vendors, you can de-risk the decision by going with a vendor that everyone else in the industry trusts and knows, so that you aren't working with or risking your reputation or career on something that's unknown or insecure. So I thought about fast forwarding to 2022. Are there IBMs of our time today? Is it Microsoft Office? Is it the Google Suite? I'd argue it's kind of a mix of both of them. And I wonder if we reach for Google Sheets because we just happen to know that everyone else in our team uses it, or is it actually the best tool to get the job done? And I think it's a mix of both. And this leads me to think about how Google Sheets is really just good enough to get the job done. It's got no bells and whistles for the most part compared to other tools. And if your company doesn't have Office 365, you might reach for the Google Suite, specifically Google Sheets, Google Docs, because it mimics enough of Excel's features that you're feel comfortable putting company data into it. And it's a pretty utilitarian tool that you don't feel anything from. It's just a tool. And it's just good enough to be like your CRM or an event planner. But it's not meant to like evoke any emotions. It's not meant to make you feel a certain way. It's meant to do one thing and one thing well, and that's to help you get your job done. And for a lot of people, that's fine. That's good enough. That's kind of like the phrase I want to walk away with here. And it doesn't excite us. I mentioned this in the show notes, like getting a match on Tinder does. It doesn't tickle your senses like a sizzling steak when it comes straight out of the kitchen. And the question I want to pose to you is, should we feel okay with quote unquote settling with something as generic and simple as Google Sheets that we use every day? And the fact that our products and services are generating more and more data, is the only way to make sense of this data is to put it into Google Sheets. And I know you can probably argue you can put it into other tools like Tableau or Looker or Mode. For most people, Google Sheets is absolutely fine because you don't want your spreadsheet tool to incite or evoke any emotions because, again, it's just there to do one thing and one thing only. It's utilitarian. You keep your data organized and you get on with your day. And anything more or less is a waste of your time. And therefore, you should treat it as simply a robot doing a job for you. The allure of the free product, and no matter what function you worked in, chances are if you had to export your data from Salesforce, Jira, or some other internal tool to Google Sheet because your data is essentially trapped in the SaaS tools, and it's hard for you to make a well-informed decision if you have to rely on the stats in your SaaS tool. It's much easier to make a decision when you can see all the data on a spreadsheet in a pivot table so you know what bugs to work on or maybe what email campaigns to send. And everyone typically has a Google account and therefore they can use Google Docs and Google Sheets already because they have an account with Google. Why bother using anything else besides Google Sheets? Because again, it has most of Excel's features, it's free. And again, it's just good enough. And for most small businesses and startups, good enough is totally fine. When I have my own startup, I use Google Sheets and it was fine too because we just needed something to get the job done and we didn't have time to spend thinking and contemplating what would the best, you know, invoice tracking tool to use for our little startup. We just had to get shit done and that's why we use the free Google Sheet. But for those of you who are working for a big corporation or enterprise and have a budget to spend on software, Google Sheets is still the default. Mostly because it's easy to use, and again, everyone else kind of knows how to use it. It's similar to Excel. It doesn't have to most likely go through the ringer of IT or security or procurement at your company because everyone kind of knows about them already. It's been around since 2006, and you probably won't get fired for picking up free software, right? You're putting yourself on the line if you're getting procurement to pay for software that might be seen as risky and not as well established compared to the Google Suite or Microsoft Office. I linked to this this project management subreddit in the show notes where the moderator basically talks about why you should never use a spreadsheet for project management. He lists these five reasons. I'll quickly go through them. Number one is you never have an updated project. There's no automations to make sure that your tasks are updated. No specialized features like dependencies, specialized calculations. I'll get to this later in a bit. You don't have any real collaboration. I'm guessing he's talking more about Excel versus Google Sheets. And time consuming, you start with a blank spreadsheet and you have to rely on the analysts or the people that are really good with spreadsheets to basically build everything up for you. And number five, he says it doesn't scale. And this kind of now leads me into the kind of final tidbit about our software and, you know, our emotions and our feelings. At the end of the day, you kind of just work here. You kind of work at a company and you just want to keep your job and not do anything to really rock the boat, right? The last place you might expect to use your creative muscles is in some shared Google Sheet that everyone has to use to update their OKRs or leave notes about inventory. Maybe you'll put some extra work into formatting the Google Sheet, some data validation to make sure that no one inputs incorrect data. But the goal is to maintain status quo, not to introduce new processes or tools that your teammates have to then relearn or re-educate themselves about. We all have important jobs. We all have features to ship. What's the point of making some stupid spreadsheet better when it's merely supporting the real things that you're actually doing at work? And so all of us are more or less not willing to risk our jobs or our reputations, our egos, to pick up a better CRM tool or a project management tracker. Because even though we know that the new shiny software, the new shiny SaaS software out there will actually solve some of our business workflow problems, the potential damage to our, you know, work reputation completely outweighs the blandness and tastelessness of a free Google Sheet. And that's the main problem. We just work at these places. We just work somewhere. And, you know, if you're actually working at a company not for the higher salary and you have a sense of ownership over the mission and vision of the company, then you probably will be less risk averse and willing to pick up these new shiny tools and objects and ditch the bland Google Sheet, because you actually want to make the lives of your colleagues better. Granted, you can do that through Google Sheets too by, you know, really focusing on making the user experience really nice and putting in really cool formulas. But for the most part, people don't do that because they just want to get on with their day. And there's maybe one or two people on your team that really care about making that spreadsheet super, super nice. And I think it comes down to like the experience that you want your teammates to feel when they open up like all their tools like Slack, Teams, Outlook. And I want to posit this question and saying, is it too far-fetched to say that using our quote-unquote work applications should feel like using our personal applications, you know, like Instagram, Tinder, or whatever, minus the addictiveness, obviously. I mean, we are in our applications, work applications, 9 to 5 or however much you work per day. Why not have a user experience that actually delights us and have us enjoy updating our project statuses and aggregating lists and doing data entry? What if that was actually a fun and delightful experience? And I know I'm starting to get into like this more kind of touchy-feely subject of like psychological safety in the workplace and finding your purpose in your work. And we're still just talking about Google Sheets here. But the point I'm trying to make is that Google Sheets, like IBM, could be a symbol of the risk aversion at your company. And I think in the show notes, I include actually a nice little graphic from Rework from Google that talks a little bit about the five steps of psychological safety and the need to share. I think this is, as the SaaS venture capital world calls it, this is multiplayer mode. And the biggest value proposition when Google Sheets came out in 2006 was that it gave you the ability to quickly share your spreadsheet. It gave you the quick ability to not have to save your file every 5 or 10 minutes, and your teammates could instantly collaborate with you. And if you take a look at all the SaaS applications, workplace applications you use today, chances are they're all becoming very multiplayer. They're all meant for real-time collaboration because, well, number one, these tools want to grow at different companies and charge more for using the services. But number two, it just leads to better designs, better products. Just everything is better because you have the feedback and iteration cycle of working and getting everyone's feedback on your team, not just your media team, but like maybe your whole company. And I think this idea that you could share your Google Sheet or Google Doc very quickly led teams to adopt kind of like the lean startup model from Eric Ries to their spreadsheets, because before that, you're working in your Excel file, you're working on it kind of like on your own independently. And then a few weeks later, you emerge from your shell and you send it out to your teammates and you're saying, here's my finished model. Here's my finished spreadsheet. In the Google Sheets world, you might start something up on, at 9 a.m. and then by 10 a.m., you share it out and you say, everything's work in progress. But the great thing is that now you can kind of build the spreadsheet with your teammates and they're giving you feedback. And then you iterate, incorporate their feedback into the spreadsheet. And then before you know it, everyone has a vested interest in this spreadsheet because they all had a way to impact the final output on that spreadsheet. And it ultimately resulted in better teamwork, most likely better analyses, better decision-making, because everyone was involved in the creation of the spreadsheet, hopefully, if that's what you're doing with your Google Sheets. But that's great up until Mary, who was the one managing the Google Sheets, decides to leave the company, and she happened to be the only person that understood all the formulas, the structure, the framework that was used, the business rules. Once she leaves, then you're kind of stuck thinking about, well, do I have another super Google Sheets user on my team that can pick up where Mary left off? And I can't tell you how many times I've seen people's Google Sheets and Google Apps script, and the person showing me their Sheets and Apps script say, yeah, so-and-so was our analyst, but they decided to leave last week, and we have no idea how to do the spreadsheet, so we want to redo it or whatever. And so you, as a person who may not be in the Google Sheet all day, understand all the formulas, you might start feeling panic, confusion, and maybe even some resentment for not knowing enough about how the spreadsheet was created, even though your team's processes and most important workflows are captured in that Google Sheet and you just have no way to fix it. And that's why I think, well, that's why I know SaaS applications and software that are meant to do project management, inventory management, event planning, customer relationship management, dedicated software for these use cases is a $144 billion market as of 2021. In episode number 46, I walked through a project management template that I created in Google Sheets. And this Google Sheet is super hacky. It tries to mimic paid project management software by baking in formulas that allow you to do task dependencies, like first to last to first, last to last, that kind of stuff, or start to finish, finish to start, sorry. And it also has a hacky Gantt timeline chart in it. And this blog post and template happened to be one of my top performing episodes and blog posts. And that's because people are discovering this through Google search. And it's scary to think that real teams are using this template to manage like real projects that might have like real revenue or expenses tied to it, because there might be only a few individuals on these teams that really understand how the formulas work. And if someone needs to customize it or edit it, there's probably only a small group of people that can actually do the work of editing it, I think. And then the rest of the team are just kind of like viewers or consumers of this project management template. I mean, I can see the appeal of this template. I'm not trying to like toot my own horn, but like it's a free tool. It probably has low barrier to resistance with your teammates because it's free and it's already in a tool that people know how to use, Google Sheets. And someone in your team probably knows enough about Google Sheets to get started with it. But again, the minute that you need customization or edits to the sheet and that person moves to a different team, leaves the company, you're stuck inheriting this kind of complicated Google Sheet for doing project management when you could have picked up like something like as simple as Trello, free tool to do some basic project management. So there's that kind of risk of going with the quote-unquote safe choice. And this leads me to this final section on how, I mean, I don't want to say everyone that's working Google Sheets is this way, but it is a kind of half-hearted way of getting work done. It's such a half-hearted way of getting work done because we spend so much time at work using Google Sheets, using Excel, and can we have a tool that inspires us to be more creative? And I think we're at a time where SaaS applications and software for work are so commodified that the features that tug on the heartstrings of our emotions are the only way to differentiate the software from each other. And I kind of challenge you to think about, can you take a risk with trying the new tool you heard about, read about, blog post about, without feeling like a complete loser if your team ultimately decides not to adopt it? You took a risk, you failed, and are you willing to live with that on your team? And I hope that people out there listening feel like they can do that and don't feel like I have to stick with, again, this bland tool that everyone knows how to use, because it's such a weird and half-hearted way to work, because we're spending so much time in this tool that we all kind of hate to a certain degree, but we put up with because it's good enough. And if it's good enough, it's free enough, it makes you fit in, then why move to something else? We're always going to, it's like when you break up with your ex, you always kind of go back to your ex in some shape or form because it's comfortable and you feel like it's a place of safety. And if you decide not to settle and decide to take the risk, perhaps you and your team will change for the better. So can you take that risk? And I put a nice little gift here. You got to risk it to get the biscuit. One of my favorite quotes. So back to the original motivation for doing this episode and blog post. I know for a fact, 99% of you out there who are listening to this are nodding along and saying, yeah, take more risks. I don't need to ditch my shitty Google Sheet. I know 99% of you are going to do jack shit after listening to this episode, and you're continuing going to do the same thing that you've been doing every single day. And knowing that, I am using this opportunity to launch a course I just recorded and published on Google Sheets on Skillshare. So I just spent like the last 20 minutes railing on, hating on Google Sheets, and I'm here to tell you that I'm launching a course on Google Sheets. And I think it's because I know all of you are still going to be stuck in Google Sheets, no matter whether you like it or hate it. And hopefully these classes might help you or your colleagues who are still continuing to use Google Sheets. So I have a vested interest actually in people continuing to use Google Sheets because these classes are on Google Sheets, as I said. And the first class is a beginner class. It's called Google Sheets for Teams Part 1, Collaborate Better with Your Teammates. And the second class is Google Sheets for Teams 2, Advanced Features and Formulas for Teams. And you may notice that both of these classes has a focus specifically on how to use Google Sheets within a team context. Because like I said earlier, Google Sheets, to me, the main selling point, the main value proposition is that it's a real-time collaborative spreadsheet. And so thus, we should think about using this tool in that context and not in the framework or context of Excel, which I think is mostly like you're working on a model, you're working on some analysis, and you want to eventually copy and paste it and put it into a PowerPoint or a PDF or something. I'm talking about the features that help you collaborate better, share data better with your teams. And so I talk about in the first class, which is a more beginner class, about how to best share your Google Sheet given like the security and the permissions, how to use keyboard shortcuts. Yes, there are a shit ton of keyboard shortcuts in Google Sheets, and kudos to Google Sheets team for putting in these shortcuts, because I used to be averse to Google Sheets because of the lack of keyboard shortcuts, but they have come a long way and I think you'll like them. Making VLOOKUP more dynamic for your team, not just doing a simple VLOOKUP, but how do you make it so that your teammates can edit cells and make it do VLOOKUP dynamically. And also a fun lesson in class one is how to use Google Sheets as artificial intelligence to help you clean and transform your data for you without you having to write a bunch of weird, funky formulas. Class two is definitely a little more advanced. I mean, it is advanced. You should definitely be an advanced user of Google Sheets if you take class two. I talk a lot about conditional formatting, really advanced conditional formatting rules, again, to make it feel more interactive for your team to use and highlight data using the query function, which for those of you who are comfortable with SQL, you might find the query function really interesting to use because it's basically like writing SQL in Google Sheets. Using slicers with pivot tables to build a simple dashboard, interactive dashboard, again, for your teams to interact with the data. And also one of my favorite sections is how to superpower your Google Sheet with add-ons and macros, because you can do so much stuff with add-ons and Google Sheets. There's a whole Google Sheets marketplace of add-ons, and I think people don't take enough advantage of that. And also just how to better sync data from one Google Sheet into another Google Sheet. So the takeaway, call to action here, take my two classes on Google Sheets if you want to learn more or share it with a colleague or teammate. And that kind of wraps up this episode on why you should take the risk and use something else besides Google Sheets, but also take my classes on Google Sheets. I wanted to give a quick shout out to another episode from another podcast I listened to recently. It was back in February, the Econ Talk podcast with, God, who's the guy's name? I always forget the name of the person who, oh, Russ Roberts, that's his name. And he's interviewing Tamar Haspel. I might be saying her name wrong. She is a author and columnist at Washington Post. She also has a book called To Boldly Grow. And around minute 25, 26, she was talking about how like kind of she was like taking a break or something with her husband, and they were like in the woods and stuff. And she was talking about how most of her life is spent thinking about doing things, like how to, she talks about how to write better. How do you think better? How do you think about thinking better? All these kind of like super heady kind of armchair things that a lot of us knowledge workers do every day. But then when she was in the outdoors, I forgot exactly why she was in the outdoors. Yeah, I had to go back to this episode, but I think the premise was they wanted to like make their own food or something for a month. Anyways, since they were kind of roughing it in the outdoors, they had to learn how to hunt and do a lot of outdoorsy things. And she was basically making this point that you have to not only think about stuff, but you actually have to do stuff with your hands, roll up your sleeves, and do something physical, connecting your physical with the mental. And I thought that was super interesting because, at least for me, I'm stuck behind a computer most of the day. And being able to do physical things, I think for me, it's like lifting, playing basketball, whatever it may be for you. There are things that you have to, I think there's like a new neural pathway that emerges when you have to like not only think about doing something, but also physically doing the hand-eye coordination to do the thing. And she talks about how this makes her feel like a more well-rounded person. And I'm trying to see here what else was kind of captivating about this part of the episode. I think it's just like there's all these other skills that you don't really get a chance to use that you kind of have to exercise when you're out in the outdoors. And I think just having those physical skills and being able to see people who do these physical skills in action with expertise is also kind of like a really cool thing to see. Like when you see someone, even like if you see someone like cutting down like some trees, or I remember one time I had to like oversee like a plumbing job and seeing the way that this plumber was able to like use all different tools to get the job done. There is kind of like a fascination with like they have all this physical and mental kind of skill set to like just do something that has like a really tangible physical output. It just makes you a better, well-rounded person, and you're not just thinking anymore. You're thinking and doing, as Tamar says in this episode. And not all of us get a chance to do this, which is unfortunate because maybe we are physically disabled or whatever. But I think the key takeaway for me was just getting outdoors more, putting down our phones, and just using our hands more. And I think that's why a lot of people end up like enjoying home improvement as they get older, because you just get to like keep your mind and your body kind of moving and exercising. So that's going to wrap up this episode of Zero Analyst. And take the Google Sheets classes on Skillshare. Link to them in the show notes. Thanks for listening.